Amen. Good song, and good song leader, and love to hear Jeremy's voice. He's got an amazing voice, and boy, what a good week it's been for our church family. We started last Sunday. We had church-wide breakfast and combined service, and we had a great crowd, and always so thankful that you guys are willing to give up this service to combine together with the church, with the 11 o'clock service, and we had a fantastic crowd for breakfast. The CLC was filled to capacity for worship, and Jeremy did a great job preaching on worship, and five people joined our church family at the end of the service, and five people. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You probably don't know this. I keep up with statistics probably better than you do, just because of how much I read Southern Baptist life. The average Southern Baptist church presently in this nation is about 65. They average about 65 in the average Southern Baptist church. And the average Southern Baptist church will not have five people join in a year. And the Lord sent us five people to join last Sunday. And so the Lord is good. It's a good day last Sunday. And then Monday we started our senior adult revival, and we had senior adults from our church and senior adults from our community here. I think it was around 10 different church people from 10 different churches were here throughout the week, and it was some of the best preaching I've ever heard. Mike Stone preached on Paul's thorn in his flesh. Gerald Harris preached one of the best sermons I've ever heard on the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And then Bryant Wright preached on effective grandparenting. If you're a grandparent, I would encourage you to go on our website and listen to that sermon that Bryant Wright preached on grandparenting. And it was incredibly good and powerful. And then Thursday night, many from our church went to see David Jeremiah at the Macon Coliseum, one of my favorite preachers in the world. Saturday, then, our men's and women's ministry gathered together to service the cars and change the oil for widows and single moms. And they had a record number of cars that they did yesterday, ministered to the ladies, and the men serviced their vehicles. And boy, I tell you what, this church has got it going on. And I love being your pastor, and I love your faithfulness to this church and this community. And this is the only service I'm going to preach today. I was asked last year to preach homecoming today at Flowvilla, the first church that I ever pastored, Flowvilla Baptist Church. And so was going to ask Rick to preach today, but he is out of town doing the Sandifer's wedding. Jeremy preached last week, and so Chase Henson's going to preach the 11 o'clock service. And so I wanted to be here today with you folks, because I knew that if I missed here this morning and then the 11 o'clock service, that many in the church would be going, "Now, how many Sundays do you get off?" And I know y'all. I know you. And I know you better than you know you. And I could hear it. He never preaches anymore. And so I could hear those comments. And I don't have to be at Flowvilla till 10:30. And so I thought, well, I can at least preach the 8:30 service today. So we'll be back on the Ten Commandments next Sunday. And so today I want to ask you a question and just have some fun today in this service. But I want to ask you this question. How's your attitude? Is it good or is it bad? How's your attitude? There was a country boy who grew up on a farm, but he was incredibly smart. I mean, he breezed through school and sent out applications for college, and he was just a good old country boy and got accepted at Harvard University, very prestigious university. And he was touring the campus in his first week of classes, and he had a big paper due already in one of his classes, and so he didn't have a clue where the library was, but he needed to go do some research, and so he's walking across this massive campus at Harvard University, and he sees this professor walking with his coat and tie on and a little name tag that had his name and professor, and so the country guy stopped him, and he said, "Excuse me, sir," he said, "can you tell me where the library is at?" And the professor looked at him, he said, "Young man," he said, "at Harvard, we never end a sentence with a preposition." And he said, "Oh," he said, "excuse me, do you know where the library is at, you jerk?" That's a bad attitude. That's a bad attitude. I'm not endorsing that. But did you know that to a large degree, it's your attitude that determines your ability to live a successful life or to live a life of disappointment? Your attitude can be your greatest asset or it can be your worst enemy. Your attitude can draw people to you or it can push people away from you. It's your attitude that determines the level of joy and peace and even stress, the quality of your marriage, your professional success in your job, the happiness and well-being of your children. All these things are largely determined by your attitude. It's your attitude that has the ability to turn dislike into love. It's your attitude that has the ability to turn failure into success. It's your attitude that has the ability to turn rejection into accomplishment. To a large degree, your attitude can determine the quality of your life on this earth. Charles Swindoll, one of my most favorite preachers, said this: "Words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude. The longer I live, the more I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I respond to it. I believe the single most significant decision that I can make on a day-to-day basis is the choice of my attitude. Attitude to me is more important than my past, my education, my bank account, my circumstances, my failures, my successes, than what other people say or think about me, my giftedness or my skills. Attitude can keep me going or it can cripple my progress. Attitude can fuel my fire or it can assault my hope. When my attitude is right," Chuck Swindoll said, "there's no barrier too high, no gorge too deep, no dream too extreme, and no challenge too great for me." See, when it comes to an attitude, we possess two possibilities, a good one or a bad one. Great definition of attitude: it's an inward feeling expressed by an outward action. It's an inward feeling that's expressed by an outward action. So I just want to give you three kind of teaching points this morning on how to have a healthy attitude. The first thing I want you to see this morning is that a healthy attitude is a choice. A healthy attitude is a choice. I've said it 100 times since I've been pastor here, and I'll say it 101 times today. What you think determines what you feel, and what you feel determines what you do. What you think determines what you feel. What you feel determines what you do. If you want to have a positive attitude, if your goal in life is to have a healthy, positive attitude, it starts in your mind. It starts with your thinking. It begins with your attitude. True story of a guy that lived on the East Coast, and he was fairly negative, just one of those guys who saw the dark cloud in every silver lining. He traveled out west and was on a bus tour. And boy, they went from these great places in our nation, and he was just completely unmoved. He wasn't impressed at all by the Grand Canyon. He yawned at Yellowstone. He was bored to tears at the Painted Desert. The bus driver had enough of his apathy and his indifference and complaining, and he finally turned to that man and he said, "Mister, when you haven't got it on the inside, you can't see it on the outside." It has a lot to do with attitude. A positive attitude starts on the inside. It starts in the mind. It begins with your thoughts. And as a general rule, our emotions flow out of our thoughts. See, people who are often discouraged are discouraged because they think discouraging thoughts. People who by and large are negative because they think negative thoughts. People who are constantly worried are constantly worried because they think anxious thoughts. It's no accident that people that live amazing lives of accomplishment are people who habitually think joyful, positive thoughts. Their thoughts incline them to confidence and joy and all those things and love. So take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Fairly, I'm sure, familiar verse to many of us here today, but That really is where I want to find the bulk of this message from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says this, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if any of these things are excellent or praiseworthy, then think about such things." And so here's your biblical instruction for thinking. Focus solely your thoughts on things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are admirable, things that are excellent, things that are praiseworthy. You have a choice as to what you want to focus on and think on a daily basis. And you can think about those things that are right, or you can think about those things that are wrong. You can think about those things that are pure, or those things that are impure. You can think about those things that are lovely, or those things that are unlovely. You can think about those that are praiseworthy, or those things that are complaint-worthy. You have a choice. And let me just say this. If anyone has a reason to be positive and upbeat and optimistic in their thinking, it's the children of God. Nobody ought to be more positive and optimistic and upbeat than the blood-bought, born-again follower of Jesus. Because no matter how bad, how terrible, how unfair, how unjust things happen to us and around us, those of us who are redeemed are moving towards something greater, something higher, something better. If you're a follower of Jesus, then life on this earth is as bad as it's ever going to get for us. Can I get an amen? Thank you. You know, people that have bad attitudes are just the opposite of that. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. People that are so negative, they'd give an aspirin a headache. You probably work with some of those kind of people. I mean, they just believe that they're born naked and upset and hungry, and it only gets worse from there. I hope to goodness that you're not that kind of person. Choose to be positive. Choose to believe the best in your circumstances. Here's what I believe, that a positive attitude might not solve all of your problems, but it'll annoy enough people around you to make it worth the effort. That's just what I believe. You have a choice to make concerning your attitude. And I'm just say this, make that choice when you wake up first thing in the morning as to what kind of day it's going to be. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, God says, "Those who seek me early shall find me." So when you adjust your thinking, your heart, your soul, your mind to the Lord early, and you say, "Lord, I'm going to have a positive outlook for this day. I'm going to honor you today," that impacts your thinking. Can I meddle this morning? I want to preach a little bit, but I want to meddle a little bit. What is your attitude like first thing in the morning? I'm going to tell you, I'm a morning person. I wake up in the morning and usually somewhere between 5:30 and 5:45, and I feel good. 98% of the time, I feel really good. I'm ready for the day. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I did name my bathroom Jim, so that I can tell people I go to the gym first thing in the morning. I have done that just to kind of help my thinking a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, my wife is not a morning person. She is not a she hops out of bed like Fred Astaire or anybody else that's been dead for a really long time. I mean, she is not good in the morning. Someone said there's two kinds of people. There's happy morning people and there's cranky morning people who fantasize about killing happy morning people. When you adjust your thinking early in the morning that this is going to be a great day, I'm going to have a positive attitude, I'm going to seek God today, it's amazing the impact that will have in shaping the outcome of your day. You cannot have a good day with a bad attitude. You cannot have a bad day with a good attitude. Winston Churchill famously said, "Every day might not be a good day, but there's something good in every day." Two very top prestigious universities studied the benefits of having a healthy, positive attitude. And these extensive researchers followed 1,500 people around for 7 years. They followed them around for 7 years, 1,500 folks. And they measured their health. They measured their weight loss, their walking speed, their energy level, the strength of their grip. And what they discovered over that 7 year extensive study of those 1,500 individuals, they found that those who maintained a positive attitude were significantly less likely to show signs of aging. They were less likely to become more frail as they aged. They were more likely to be stronger and healthier than those who had a negative attitude. And so research has proven that those who have that gloom and doom attitude, that negative attitude, they grow weaker and they age faster than those with a healthy attitude. And so I hope this is helping you this morning. Healthy attitude is a choice, but I want you to see, secondly, that a healthy attitude helps us to overcome failure. A healthy attitude helps us to overcome failure. There's one thing that all of us here have in common. We've all failed at something. We've all failed at something. And maybe this morning even you feel like a failure. Maybe you're listening to those voices in your head that are telling you that you're a failure. And God put me here this morning to tell you that He specializes in taking failures and turning them into conquerors. See, a person who's never failed is most likely a person who's never lived abundantly. Because the only way to guarantee that you'll never fail is to try nothing, say nothing, and do nothing. If you try nothing, say nothing, and do nothing, you'll never fail. But if you try things, if you do things, then there's a chance that you'll fail. If you don't try anything, don't do anything, don't say anything, there's a chance that you'll never fail, but there's also a chance that you'll never live abundantly either. When you fail and you have a healthy attitude, guess what? You get back up again, and when you get back up again, you're a little bit stronger because you've learned from failure, you've grown from failure. Henry Ford said this, "Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently." See, I've assessed in the 30 years that I've been in ministry that far too many people spend far too much time obsessing and agonizing about failures in the past that cannot be changed. Let me tell you one of the most therapeutic expressions in the English language. Get over it. Move on. If you failed at something, get over it. If you let others down, move on. If somebody hurt your feelings, get over it. If somebody criticized you, move on. If somebody betrayed you, get over it. If somebody belittled you, then move on. God has the amazing ability to take our failures and to redeem them for His glory and our good. And here's just in general my advice to you. Forget a lot of stuff. The good stuff and the bad stuff. If you've been very successful in your career, thank God for it, and then forget about it. If you were salesman of the year, thank God for it, and then forget about it. If you royally messed up recently, ask God's forgiveness and forget about it. One of the best ways that you can maintain a healthy attitude is to not camp out in yesterday's accomplishments or yesterday's failures. Grow from your failures. Give God the glory for your successes and put them all behind you. And just enjoy today. Don't spend your time living in the past, whether the past was good or bad, but just enjoy today. Focus your energy in making a difference today. And so a healthy attitude helps us to overcome failure. A healthy attitude is a choice, but I want you to see, thirdly, that a healthy attitude produces thanksgiving. A healthy attitude produces thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing." I wonder how many of you today are anxious. The Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." I really believe that one of the keys to a healthy attitude is gratitude. See, it's not happy people who tend to be grateful, but it's grateful people who tend to be happy. Can I just kind of give you some advice and some wisdom this morning? Maybe your health is not what you want it to be, and maybe it's not what it used to be. Maybe your job situation is just not good. Maybe it's causing you so much anxiety and so much stress. Maybe your financial situation is down the tubes and it's in the tank. Here's just some wisdom for you. If you'd stop complaining about your situation and start praising God in your situation, you just might see Him intervene. There came a time when Tammy was going through cancer treatments, and the most difficult thing I ever did was at somebody's request, where I stopped and I said, God, I want to thank You for that cancer, because we're learning things through that cancer that we could learn no other way. We're learning dependence on You. We're learning appreciation for this life. We're learning to enjoy health while it's available. Lord, we're learning things through this cancer. And so I appreciate, Lord, I do have some gratitude for the cancer. And I want to pray for healing for Tammy. But there came a time where I said, Lord, I can see some value in this, and I can thank You for this. If we'd stop complaining about our situations and start praising God in the midst of our situation, we just might see Him do something miraculous. See, I'm of the opinion that we're so incredibly blessed in this nation. We've just forgotten how to be thankful. Because we're so blessed, it's created this atmosphere of entitlement and ungratefulness, and we're so spoiled in this nation, and when something doesn't go our way, we don't know how to handle it, because everything has gone our way in this prosperous nation. And so what it's created is a generation that is so angry and discontent, and it is affecting their attitudes and making them very unhealthy. I go to the hospital minimal 2 days a week, on average, at least 2 days a week. And if you go to the hospital at least 2 days a week, sometimes as many as 4 days a week, that'll help you to be more thankful. I'll leave somebody's room who's forced to be on oxygen 24 hours a day, and I leave there, and it makes me thankful that I don't have trouble breathing. I see somebody in a wheelchair going down the hall, or someone's pushing them, and it makes me thankful that I can walk with no trouble. I see people on dialysis, and it makes me thankful that I've got good kidneys that can function. Weekly, I go to the hospital, and I pray with people who I know they don't have long to live on this earth, and it makes me thankful that I'm healthy. This past week was my 17th funeral I've done this year. A lot of people don't have the privilege to live long on this earth. And that emotion of gratitude helps me to have a better attitude. Can I just ask, have you thanked the Lord for your health recently? We take for granted our health until it's in jeopardy. Think about Miss Florence, who comes here every Sunday with a caretaker. Miss Florence is... How old? 90. She can't drive on her own. She lives in Juliet, Georgia, about 35, 40 minutes away, and she pays a caretaker to bring her to church every Sunday morning, and drives 40 minutes to be here for the early service. She gets up about 5 o'clock every Sunday morning to come to church, get somebody, pay somebody. I don't want to tell you how much it is, but it's a lot to bring her here and to take her home. And because she loves the Lord, she fell, broke her arm this week. Pray for her, please pray for her. But when I look at what Miss Florence goes through to get to church, it makes me filled with joy to just have the privilege of being able to come to church. To be here with you folks is such a privilege. I wonder if I may ask you a question. Have you had a negative attitude recently about your circumstances, about your health, about your job, about your children, about your grandchildren? Is there something in your life where your attitude needs to be adjusted? I think most people get things backwards. I think they wait for their circumstances to change before their attitude changes. Where the truth is, if we'll just change our attitude about our circumstances first, then typically our circumstances will change. Even if they don't actually change, our attitude changes, and so we're changed in the midst of the process, even amidst circumstances that aren't great. Epicurus said this, "Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you do not have. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you do not have, but remember those things that you have now were once among those things that you hoped for." A 12-year-old boy named David was born without an immune system, and he underwent a bone marrow transplant to correct this deficiency that he had. Up to that point, he had spent his whole 12 years of life in a protective bubble. He'd never been outside of that bubble because if he came into contact with any sort of germs or bacteria or viruses, he had no immune system to fight against those things, and it would kill him. So he spent 12 years in a protective bubble, had never had human contact in his life. And so he was asked by a reporter, he said, what would you do if you were taken out of this bubble? And here's what he said. He said, "I want to walk barefoot on the grass and touch my mother's hand." Boy, we're so incredibly blessed. Can I ask you this morning, how many of you ate breakfast before you came to church this morning? Not everybody raise their hand because you know you're going to get a free donut this morning. God's good, isn't he? God, isn't he good? How many of you slept in a bed with a roof over your head last night? I think just about everybody. Okay, good. How many of you took a shower this morning with hot water on the inside of a house somewhere with hot water? How many of you drove a vehicle here that got you here in one piece? Praise the Lord. How many of you are probably going to go out to eat for lunch today, or at least go home and have a fairly bountiful meal at home today? How many of you? Instead of a bowl of rice or something along those lines. How many of you are going to sit in an air-conditioned home this afternoon and probably watch a television set that's 40, 50 inches in diameter? Well, just looking around at all the hands that continue to go up, it sounds to me like we have a lot to be thankful for. Always think this, life is short. Smile while you still got some teeth. You know, God is good. And you may be sitting here thinking, but Chris, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. It's easy for you to smile because you've got a great job, because you've got a great wife, and you've got a daughter that walks with the Lord, and you've got a nice house, and you're driving a nice truck. Can I just say, do you honestly think I don't struggle with negative thinking? I mean, even this week with the senior adult revival, I planned, I promoted as best I could. We started on Monday with 210 people. We ended on Wednesday with 150 people. I told a buddy of mine, I said, we had a lot of decisions in that revival. A lot of people decided not to come back. But things like that happen, and I'm either faced with a choice. Either I can think negatively about the experience or positively about the experience. Whether it was a success or a failure, that's for God to decide. But I'm just going to learn from it, and I'm going to grow from it. But I promise you, under the Lord, and I don't say this to garner sympathy. I say it for you to put me on your prayer list. I spend a lot of nights fighting negative thinking because of the weight and the stress of ministry. And I'm forced. Am I going to think negatively about what I don't do well? Am I going to think positively about what's going well? And it's all in the Lord's hands anyway. So my favorite verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You want to know how to guard against negative thinking? Know this, in Jesus we are more than conquerors. And if we'll place our lives, our minds, our hearts, our attitude in the hands of Jesus, nothing will devastate us. Nothing will swallow us up. Nothing will destroy us. That's the beauty and the message of the resurrection and the heart of the gospel, that no matter how dark any situation is, God can turn it around. No matter how hopeless any situation is, God can transform it. No matter how bad something is broken, God can restore it. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that can fix the mess that you're in today. So trust in Jesus and be positive. There was a man who was wandering along this construction site, and there were these stonemasons who were working outside of, they were building this cathedral. These stonemasons were working outside with these bricks and these blocks, and so this man who was curious was walking along, and he asked one of those stonemasons, he said, what are you doing? He said, can't you see? He said, I'm chipping a stone. And he walked over to another mason, and he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a wall. And he walked over to a third brick mason. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. The power of just being thankful, just enjoying the opportunity. What we're doing here is building a kingdom for God in this church and a kingdom for God in this community. And a healthy attitude sure makes things easier to build. When we just love Jesus and we just work together, then God is glorified and honored and praised. And He'll begin to build a kingdom, His kingdom on this earth. And then when our lives end, we get to stand before Him and hear the most incredibly beautiful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Things may not be good now for you, but this is a season that you're in. It will change. It'll get better. These storm clouds that you're in now will begin to part, and the sun will shine again. The birds will sing again, and this world will become a more beautiful place again. But until that time, find the good in today, because there's something good in every day that we can praise Him for. We're just very, very blessed. But I'm afraid we forget that sometimes. We're very blessed. Let me pray for us. Maybe you're here today, and if you were to be brutally honest, you'd have to say, Chris, my attitude stinks. I'm in a bad season. My health, maybe it's a job situation, maybe it's a family crisis, maybe it's financial trouble and peril. Whatever it is, it has affected your attitude, and you wake up and you dread the day and what it may bring. It may be that you've got this kind of attitude because Jesus is not the Lord and Savior of your life, and maybe today, just in the quietness of this moment, you need to kneel before Him and say, Lord Jesus, I know today that I'm not saved. I need to be forgiven. I need my attitude to be healed. I need You to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And maybe you just need to pray a prayer like that and be saved today. If you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, in just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing, and I invite you to, I don't want to embarrass you this morning or put you on the spot, but I'd love for you just to come down this aisle and say, Chris, today I need to be saved. I need Jesus in my heart, in my life. If that's where you're at today, you come. You don't have to worry about what people are going to think. They'll be thrilled. They're not going to judge you. They'll be excited for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church to join, and you've been coming here, and this is the place where the Lord would have you to serve and to be part of our family. We'd be honored if you would do that. Maybe you just need to come kneel at the altar. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. Maybe there's a real need, and you just need to cry out to the Lord because it's affecting your attitude. Whatever it is, it's the Lord's time. You be obedient to that voice that's knocking on the door of your heart. You be obedient to that voice that's drawing you to come down to this altar today. Whatever it is the Lord's leading you to do today, you be obedient to that voice. Father, in Jesus' name, your church, your service. These are your altars. We're your people. I pray you'd move among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand your feet.